Did you guys get your stretches in, your pregame on a little bit? No? Okay. That's all right. We don't need to stretch. But I just don't want anybody pulling in a muscle or anything. My name is Josh Vietti, and my dad is Pastor Ron Vietti, who founded this church, and known Doug and Vicky practically my whole life. And I'm just part of the deal. You don't see me very often because I'm in Bakersfield, but I've been at this it was like 17 years, but I took like 3 years where I didn't do it, so about 14 years. So we'll say that, right? But I hope you guys are doing good today. I have a message for you that I believe could possibly just change your life. I really do. I think that it's a message that God spoke to me the last couple of weeks as I was preparing for this, and I saw an old text, the text that I have been preaching on and speaking on for years. It was opened up in a whole new light for me. And so we'll get to that in a few minutes. And I'm going to pray for you in a few minutes that God would open your eyes. But before I do that, I want to read a scripture to you to help prepare for that prayer. Okay? Because I really believe that when we come to God, it's important to be intentional. It's important to think about it. It's important to ask God according to his will, and it's important to understand where he's coming from. In the book of Genesis, there's a story that's a little strange, and it's a story that's always kind of stuck out in my mind. It's it's in Genesis 11. It's called the Tower of Babel. Now, God, he set the reset button a couple times. God created Adam and Eve. They sinned. He puts them outside of the garden and gives them a different life. He kind of sets the reset button. Then he lets people do what they want to do, and the people get out of control, and they fall away from him. And then he allows a flood to flood the entire earth. You guys know the story of Noah's Ark. He sets the reset button again, right? Well, the third time that God sets the reset button is this story in the Tower of Babel. And what happens is the people get together, and they become unified, and they start working on this tower. They start working on this tower to reach into the heavens. And the purpose of this was to create a name for themselves. They wanted to just make sure that they were known amongst the world. And so they got together, these people, and they were unified. And it says in the Word there in Genesis 11, it says that God saw their unity and saw their power and said, if they are unified like this, nothing will stop them. They can do almost anything. And so there's a power and unity there. But the problem is their mentality was off. Like they just had bad intentions. They were trying to create a name for themselves. They weren't trying to do something for God. And so God had to intervene. And what he did was he dispersed the people across the entire world, and he confused their languages. It's a weird story. If you want to go back and read it in Genesis chapter 11, please do that. And so in Acts chapter 2, God kind of fixes this language problem. People before had different language barriers and issues. And so in Acts chapter 2, I'm just going to read this scripture and tie it into the prayer that I'm going to pray for you in a minute. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place." Just like today, like we're all together in one place. How many of you guys are from Las Vegas originally? Okay, how many of you guys are from somewhere else completely originally? Okay, see, I love this. This is the beauty of Las Vegas. This is the greatness of this church, is the diversity in this church. People come from all different places, different cultures, and different backgrounds. And that's what was going on here. So all these people from different places were together. And it says in verse 2, "And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." So all these people from different places, different backgrounds, were together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. "And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven." So there was people from all different parts of the world that came together to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to wait for this promise that Jesus had said he would give them. And in verse 6, it says, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. All the people came together and were bewildered because they were each one hearing them speak in his own language. Now, this story is so beautiful because it gives us a picture of what the Holy Spirit does. Is that when we're together, even though we all might have cultural differences, I'm assuming everyone in here at least understands English, right? But even though we might be speaking the same language physically, sometimes somebody, you talk to them and you're like, I'm speaking a different language than this person right now. It's cultural differences. Like some people come from one side of the tracks, some people come from another side of the tracks, and we all come together and it could get weird, right? But the beauty is that the Holy Spirit, when he is here, he allows us all to hear him speak in our own language. God is fluent in your language, and he can speak to you where you're at. He can speak to you even though you have preconceived ideas about him, even though you have a past, even though you were brought up a certain way. God can, he can navigate those barriers. He's pretty good at it. He actually knows you. He's actually known you since before you were born. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And he speaks to you where you are. That is a beautiful, amazing thing. And so as I pray for you today, I'm going to pray that God would speak to you where you're at. And he would show you what he needs to show you right here and right now. Does that sound good? All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for everything. Lord, I thank you for the good things in our lives, but I doubly thank you for the challenges in our lives. Lord, I thank you that we all come from different backgrounds, from different places today, but your Holy Spirit unites us as one body. Lord, we've got some people that are fingers in here and some people that are toes and some people that are eyes and some people that are the nose. We're all different parts. We have different functions, but you bring us together to be unified in your spirit. So, Lord, I pray for each person that they would hear you today. Lord, whatever preconceived ideas and notions that we might have or disbeliefs or that maybe we think that you can't even speak to us or maybe we think that you're not even real today. I don't know what people are dealing with, but you do, God, and I just pray that you would show them how real you are, God, and show them that you can speak to them right here, right now. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's get into the message today. It's a simple message, but I think it's powerful. And I really hope that my goal is always, and I hope it is the fact today, that you can take what we learn here and you can run with it, that you can, whatever God speaks to you, take it into Monday, okay? Take it into Tuesday. Take it into Wednesday. The ball will be in your court at the end, right? We're going to start at Matthew chapter 7. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 7. I'm going to start at verse 15. It says, this is the words of Jesus. In my Bible, these words are red, okay? And that means that these are the words that Jesus spoke. This is a red letter. So when Jesus speaks, you got to listen because he's saying something. And in verse 15, he's telling the people, he says, beware of the false prophets. Beware of people who claim to come in God's name. Beware of these people who aren't legit, right? It says, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Beware of these people. And then Jesus continues in verse 16. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. So Jesus is talking about false prophets, and he's talking about discernment, and he's talking about giving people warning to be careful, that there are leaders that you shouldn't trust. But then he says, you'll know them by their fruits. When was the last time you saw a fruit tree? It's been a while. In Vegas, I get it. I understand. I'm going to show you a picture real quick. Let's go ahead and show the slide. We'll skip this one. We'll come back to this. That right there is not a fruit tree. That's a power lifter. That's somebody who is working hard toward a goal. Okay? Now I got ahead of myself. Let me go back to the last one. Just remember that thought, okay? It says in Matthew 7:17, this is the ESV. We just read this, but this is the ESV. It says, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. So what we're talking about today is the difference between health and disease. One of the best ways for us to understand if another tree, another person is healthy, is for us to focus on our own health, for us to be healthy. So let's go back to that slide. So this guy is focused on sport. He's focused on working hard. He's focused on struggling to get somewhere. This is not a fruit tree. Let's go to the next slide real quick. That is a fruit tree. Now, what I don't see this fruit tree doing is I don't see it struggling like that power lifter to produce fruit. The fruit tree is not going to produce fruit. The fruit tree is just producing fruit because it's healthy, right? And so today what I want to focus on is I want to talk to you guys about being healthy ourselves so that we can see when something else is healthy or not, so we can discern whether it is or not, because healthy trees produce good fruit. In fact, they only can produce good fruit. I live in the San Joaquin Valley of California in Bakersfield, as I told you before. And as I was driving here to Las Vegas, I looked over and I saw an orange grove. And it made me think about this idea of fruit trees. Go to the next slide real quick. Fruit trees, they congregate with one another. They're together, right? They help each other grow. There's this pollination. I'm not a farmer. I don't really know the right way to talk about this. But I know that when there's one tree, it's not as healthy as when there's more trees, right? And so just like us, just like you and I, coming to church together, we're all a bunch of trees, and we're much healthier when we're together. We're much healthier when we're in community together, right? So that's what I want to talk to you guys about is health. We're going to move on to Matthew chapter 22. And I'm going to give you guys some information here. This scripture, to me, is the most important in the entire Bible. This is, when I first started ministry back in 2001, I was 20, 21 years old. I was in charge of the high school group, and we went up to a camp. And besides the fact that I got the entire group lost going to the camp, when I got there, I still felt just as lost because I didn't know what I was doing, not even close. I didn't know the Bible. I literally was thrown in. Our youth pastor at the time, I was helping out. I had a part-time job at the church, and I was going to school for communications. And the pastor left abruptly. And so there was literally no one else to do it, and so I said, I'll do it. I'll at least take these kids to camp, okay? How about that? And when I got up there, it got really confusing for me because I had to start dealing with real-life stuff. There was high schoolers that were going through things. They were going through problems. They had issues, and I was like, okay, how am I going to minister to these people? I don't know what I'm doing. And so I, at one point during that trip, I just broke away. And I prayed and I said, God, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. And God pretty much spoke to me in that place and said, you're going to do this for a long time, and I want you to continue to preach this scripture. And I opened up to Matthew chapter 22, and I realized that this is the centerpiece of everything. And so what I'm talking about to you guys today, about being healthy, this is the most important thing you can learn in church. I'm not kidding. okay? In the Jewish culture, they call this the Shema. This is something that they teach their children, and they have to continue to teach each generation the Shema, and that's what we're going to talk about here today. So the context of this scripture is that Jesus was in the midst of doing his miracles, walking around. He was being Jesus, right? And there were these Pharisees and Sadducees. They were religious leaders of the day. They were more than religious leaders. They were actually cultural leaders. People looked up to them. They looked to these leaders to know about God and know what's right, know what's wrong. They were like cultural leaders, lawyers, but they were also religious leaders. And they were constantly trying to downplay who Jesus was because Jesus was challenging their entire structure. And so that's what's happening here in Matthew chapter 22, 34. It says, when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? So he's asking Jesus, what's the most important thing in the law? And Jesus says this in Matthew 22, 37. I would make note of this verse, Matthew 22, 37. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. He says, this is the great and foremost commandment. And then Jesus gives a second commandment. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe that from teaching this and from looking at this for a long time, I believe that if you learn to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, a byproduct of that is that you're going to love the people around you, right? And so so this scripture is huge. I've been teaching it for a long time, but I feel like this last couple weeks, God gave me something new with this that has to do with our health, that this is more than just a commandment that God wants us to do to be happy. This is a way of living. Like if you learn to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? If you learn to do this, then you're going to be healthier. You're going to be better at being a witness for God. You're going to be somebody that other people look to as a pillar. You're going to be strong. It's like there's something here, and I'm going to share that with you in a moment. But first, let's go through this. Let's put up this next slide real quick. Okay, the next one after this. The word heart here is the Greek word is cardia. Okay, and it means physical body. All right, so it actually means like your pumping heart. That's what it means. And most of us have a pumping heart today, right? Everybody, like if you were to check your pulse. Is it beating? Everybody alive? Okay, so you have that. We all have that, right? That's good. The second is soul, which is psuche, which is breath of life, which is spirit. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created everything, and then he created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve. And what did he do? He creates them and does this amazing thing, and then God blows his breath into this material, and he makes life out of it. And so we all have a spirit. Would you guys agree with that? Not everybody does, but hopefully you do agree with that. You have a spirit. The next thing is your mind, which basically means your mind, your head, right? And these are all vital importance. These three things make up who you are. Every one of us has a mind, every one of us has a body, and every one of us has a spirit. And it's important for us to have health in all three of these areas. Would you agree? Okay, so I'm going to go through a couple verses that have to do with these things, and then I'm going to wrap up at the end here. I know I keep telling you there's this thing coming, and it's coming, and it's really cool. I'm probably building it up too much, but to me, it was like a mind blow. All right, we'll get to it. First thing is, let's look at the mind. Let's talk about the mind. How many of you guys know that there's a big difference between an unhealthy mind and a healthy mind, right? When grandfather, he actually died of Alzheimer's, and seeing the deterioration of his mind was the hardest thing ever. And so I was able to have a new appreciation for what it means to have a healthy mind. Now, I don't know if I'm going to end up with that eventually or not. It's been a thought in my head, but I have to get that out of my head, you know. But I have at least learn to appreciate the fact that I have a clear mind, and I have something that God has given me there, right? Look at this verse in Romans 8:5. This is such a simple idea, But this is so good for our mental health. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Here's the deal. Every single day, every day, you have a choice when you wake up. You have a choice to set your mind on the things of the flesh, the things that are on the ground, the things that are in front of you. Or you can set your mind on the things of the Spirit. And the word Spirit there is capitalized, so it means the Holy Spirit. We have a choice every single day to do this. You wake up, and if you choose to think about your money or lack of it, then guess what? Your day is going to be consumed with you being stressed out about your money. If you choose to wake up and stress about your health, then you're going to be worried about that all day. If you wake up and you choose to be stressed about, your job or a relationship or whatever it might be, if it's an earthly thing, if you're choosing to think about those things, that is going to determine your day. But if you choose tomorrow, Monday morning, when you wake up, if you choose to think about the things of the Holy Spirit, that's going to guide your day down a different path. Maybe the same things will happen to you. Maybe you'll still go to work. You'll still see that same person. You'll still have that same conversation. But the way that you think about things is going to be totally different. You're going to see things with a spiritual mind instead of a simply earthly mind. Now, these are things that we've kind of lost touch with. We don't think about these things. I mean, when was the last time you thought about waking up and thinking, I need to think about the Holy Spirit? Yet it's right here in the Word. Think about the things of the Spirit. So as Christians, if you want a clear mind, do that. And even on a common sense level, when you think about God and how big He is, that He created the heavens and the earth, He created all these things, He created Mount Everest, He created the deepest oceans, He created the deserts, He created the forests, He created all these amazing people, He created all this stuff, right? But yet He's your dad, and He loves you, and He actually likes you. We know that God loves us, but how many of us know that God likes us? That He actually wants you to succeed. He actually wants the best for us. When you think in those terms, guess what happens? Fear subsides. Anxiety subsides. Because you're thinking about something that's much bigger than the problems. You're thinking about someone who loves you, who's mighty, who's wonderful. Go back and look at the Lord's Prayer if you need some more inspiration on that. The next one is the body. Let's go to the next slide. Paul said this. He said, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So Paul talks about being disciplined in his body. I was talking about this last service, and we kind of had a laugh about it, but I don't know if Paul had sexy abs. Like, I don't think of him that way, right? I'm sure he did something here, but he wasn't so concerned about just looking amazing, which is what we think about when we think about our bodies. We think about how we look. The truth is, most of us don't look perfect, right? And we're all in the same boat there, and that's okay. What matters is that your body is healthy. What matters is that you're feeding your body the right foods. It really does. Did you know that the food you eat actually does something chemically in your body and causes you to either act better or act worse? If you eat a bunch of sugar, anybody have kids? I have a 2-year-old, and when I feed that kid sugar, she just goes nuts, out of control, jumping off of the chairs, jumping off the tables, and then she crashes. Like, okay, well, that was that. But when we have her eat something healthy, you know, like, I don't know. I don't even know what my wife feeds her. This is bad. I don't even know. But it was funny as I'm thinking of foods, and I'm thinking of only unhealthy foods for my kid. But when we feed her good food, it definitely makes a big difference. But you see what I'm saying is when you treat your body right, it matters. And when you take in the right nutrition, you have to burn that energy, and you have to work. And you have to work out sometimes. Some of us need to exercise, but it could be so simple. My dad, his new favorite thing is walking at the mall. Like, that's what he does. He goes to the gym, too, but he loves walking at the mall, doing that. And so some of you guys, if you can't get out and go to the gym and run 5 miles, then just do that. Just do something. Those things matter, right? Especially if you have, like, a desk job. Some of you guys are outside working in the heat, and you don't need to exercise probably. I get that. But taking care of your body is so important because God has a plan for you. I've seen so many people that I believe their ministry was cut short because they didn't make good choices with their bodies. And that's a really sad thing. So the third thing I want to look at is the spirit. This is why you're here today, to talk about this stuff, not that body stuff, right? Spirit. Paul also writes in Romans 12:11, he says, "Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord." Over and over, the word spirit is connected to the word service. If you want to feed your spirit, go and love somebody else. Do something for somebody else. If you want to feed that, give yourself, serve. Learn how to do that. That's how you can feed your spirit. And so as I was thinking about these things, the mind, the body, the spirit, the health, I was sitting on the couch and having a conversation with my wife earlier this week, and at one point I just left the room, probably abruptly and rudely, I don't know, but because I walked into the bedroom, I get these thoughts, I have like ADD, so I get these thoughts and I'll just go do something. Anybody know anyone like that? Like they just, it's like, where'd they go? Squirrel, right? That's me. And so I left the room and I went into the bedroom and I grabbed my laptop and I just started typing. I was like, oh, I feel like there's this idea and I need to write it down. And I felt like God was really speaking something to me. My wife comes in. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just got this idea. I got to put it down. And so I felt like with this mind, body, spirit thing that God gave me this idea that there is a cycle that we all live by. And in order to be healthy, we have to have a balanced cycle. And in that cycle, we need to constantly be in a state of feeding your mind, feeding your body, and feeding your spirit. But then on the other side, you need to be expending your mind. You need to be expending your body. You need to be expending your spirit. See, another way to say it is that we need to be filling ourselves, filling our mind with good knowledge. We need to be filling our body with good nutrition. We need to be filling our spirit with love. We need to be filling, but then we also need to be emptying at the same time. There's a cycle. This is just a natural cycle. And it's easy for me to sell that when it comes to the body, right? Like we need to eat good food and we need to exercise or we need to work it off. And then you go back and you eat good food and it's a cycle, right? And really finding the balance of that is health. And so as I got done writing this down, I thought, man, this is good. And this is from God and this is amazing. And so I shared it with one of my friends. He's a school psychologist. We've been bouncing ideas off each other. And he is also a pastor's son, so we have the same issues. But but he came back and said, this is good, you know. And so I thought, that was good. I got some affirmation from my buddy. But ultimately what I needed to do was I needed to take this idea and I needed to test it with this. I needed to test it with the word. Because sometimes we get these ideas, but you have to, if you don't test it with the word, that's how you get off. That's how you get kooky. And so as I studied and prayed over this idea, I felt like God said, yeah, you're right in a respect. Like, yes, you need to fill and empty, but you have it backwards. Let's go to the next slide. We need to start with emptying. See, in our culture, we are so obsessed with consuming. We are so obsessed with, I've got a headache. I need to consume some Advil or water. I need to consume. And sometimes it's good. It's not a bad thing. But we're so consumed with consuming. We just are. I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. But God's ways are a little bit different, aren't they? God's ways revolve around emptying ourselves. So with your mind, empty your mind. And then you let God refill it, right? Empty your body. You empty it. You give everything you've got when you're working. It says in the Bible that when you work, to work like you're working for God. Like you're doing it for Him. Give everything you've got and then let God refill you the right way. And with your spirit, it's the same thing. Just give yourself. expand and then let God fill you back up. I'm going to read this passage to you, and this is going to be the last thing that I leave you with this morning. But this scripture has just been on my mind lately. It's been life changing because I think this is how we're supposed to live. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself." Okay, so Jesus didn't have to, but he did. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. This is what Jesus did. This was his whole life. Jesus lived to be emptied. He gave it all. He gave every single bit of who he was, and you know what? God lifted him up. Thinking back on that story that I first told you this morning about the Tower of Babel, it said that the people built up a tower to build a name for themselves. But then those people, what happened to them? They were dispersed. They were spread all across the earth. Do you guys know the name of the guy that built the Tower of Babel? It was just the people who built the Tower of Babel. But you know the name that I do know? Jesus. Jesus wasn't out just to make a name for himself. Jesus was out to give everything that he had, and God made a name out of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do. That's how we're called to live. We're called to just give. Let's throw up that last slide. When we give of ourselves, God will fill us back up. Right? How many of you guys, when your gas tank says full, it's completely on full, how many of you guys go and get gas? No. You know what you do? You drive that sucker, right? That's what you do. And a lot of us have more gas in the tank right now. And our issue isn't that we need more gas. The issue is that we need to burn more. We need to ride more. We need to handle the business more. We need to just live more, right? We need to live the life that God has called us to live. What is it? Let me ask you this. What is it that God is asking you to do that you're afraid to do? What is it that God is asking you to do that you are procrastinating with? Let me tell you, sometimes when we think too much, it robs us of our blessings. Maybe God is asking you to do something ministry related, or maybe he's asking you to do something in your family, or maybe he's asking you to do something with the business. I don't know. Whatever it is that he's put on your heart for a while now, you know what it is. Do it. Maybe it has to do with you spending the part of you that needs to be spent. Maybe it has to do with you letting go of something that's in your heart that needs to be let go of. Maybe it has to do with a wall that has been built up over years that God wants to take a sledgehammer to. Maybe God has something bigger than the actual thing yourself. Because it's easy when we try to put our common sense into it, our mind, when we just use our mind and we forget about the body and then we forget about the spirit, it's easy to just logically think things through and not do what God asks you to do. But if God has put something on your heart for a long time, it could be that he's trying to teach you, that he's trying to fill you with something new and fresh. Jesus said, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. Maybe God wants you to have new wineskins so he can put new wine. Maybe he wants to tear down some things that have been built up inside of you. It's harsh, right? Is it? Is it harsh? I don't know. Is it? I mean, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Allowing God to take things. There's this worship song we used to sing all the time. And the verse, I remember it, was fire fall down. And we would sing, fire, fall down, fire, fall down. And I used to think, do we really know what that means? Because what that really means is when you're asking God's fire to fall down, it means he's going to destroy some things in your life that you might be holding on to too tightly. And if you... But if he does, that means he wants to give you something better. It's a matter of trust and belief and understanding that he has your best interests in mind, right? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this day. God, I pray that you'd bless every single one of us. I pray that you would give us the strength in this place to be weak. I pray that you give us the strength to lay down before you. I pray that you give us the strength, Lord, to just be a sacrifice. If there's anyone here that you want to give your life to Jesus, or if you need prayer for anything, I'm just going to pray a prayer of encouragement for you, and I'm going to ask you to do something at the end. We'll end, but I'm going to ask you to come up and get prayer from one of these individuals up here. They're going to stay up here for a few minutes up here. I'm going to ask you to go directly to one of these guys and get prayer, okay? And do that and handle the business with God if you want to do that. Let me just pray this. Father, I pray that each and every single person that's here today, if they need to make a decision to follow you for the first time, I pray that you give them the courage to come up and do that. Lord, if they need to make a decision to follow you for the last time, I pray they would just have the courage, the strength to be weak, to walk up here and lay down their lives before you again. Lord, if there's anybody that's dealing with anything that they need prayer for, I pray that you give them the courage to be humble and weak, to lay down before you. God, give us grace and give us mercy, Lord. We love you. God, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.